I think this element of authenticity is so key to really hold on to that consumer loyalty. And even seeing behind the scenes of celebrities actually making their own product, or say inviting consumers to co-create on product development like shades and packaging, really allows that fostering of a community with the brand and also the celebrity.
That's Hannah Mauser, beauty analyst at WGSN, talking about the huge trend right now for celebrity-owned beauty brands. Pharrell, Gwyneth Paltrow, Kim Kardashian, Kate Moss, even Stella McCartney. It seems you're not an A-lister right now without your very own skincare range. So how does this differ from the celebrity endorsements of the past? What role has social media had in this boom, and which brands do we see chiming with WGSN's trend forecasts for the future? In this podcast, exploring the current celebrity beauty brand boom, myself and Hannah are joined by our head of beauty, Sienna Piccioni, and Brielle Seghese, strategist on WGSN Insight. We kicked off by discussing how celebrity brands have evolved over the decades and what they represent today.
Celebrity brands are really nothing new, but it was social media that changed the game for a lot of them. So as you know, we talk a lot with our clients about the power of creating and fostering community with their consumers. And for brands, there's a direct payoff from growing these communities, right? So their followers usually are connected to sales. But for celebrities who already have these massive fan bases, their followings weren't directly linked to financial gain, at least in the past. So sure, having thousands of fans was great for their image, but it didn't really represent direct money in their pocket. But with social media, celebrities were able to monetize their fans into followers and later into consumer communities by becoming brands themselves. And that's another key aspect of the celebrity brand, is that their online following immediately gives them that target buyer. So before running a single focus group, their team can identify their exact core customer who's already bought into the lifestyle, the aesthetic, and the products behind this persona.
It feels like it's in the past, a lot of people have just sort of put their names to things, which is a little bit different to kind of living the brand. It seems to me that it's more authentically, deeply embedded in that celebrity's life now, Brielle.
Definitely. And I think that's a direct effect of how influencers have changed the game when it came to creating their own brands, right? So a lot of times influencers are trying to do the exact same thing as celebrities, where they're trying to create their own brand, create their consumer base. They don't want to be just a spokesperson or run sponsored content for their careers. It makes more sense to start a company. And a main critique that influencers have of celebrity brands is that they're not as authentic. They're not as involved in the creation of their brand. So like you said, we've really seen this massive shift of celebrities having to put the proof in the pudding and show that they're going the extra mile in their involvement behind any brand that they create.
There's been a lot of talk recently, just generally, about sort of influencer power waning a little bit. Do you see the kind of celebrity brands kind of having way more power than an influencer endorsing something? Do you see that balance changing?
Yeah, there's a little bit of a backlash there, because influencers' first big claim to fame was that they could create this authentic connection with consumers. But as you said, over the last couple of years of the pandemic, that image of authenticity has kind of waned, where a lot of consumers are now connecting with more niche or micro influencers for that feeling of intimacy, rather than these larger influencers with larger followings that brands have traditionally latched onto. So when it comes to comparing influencer brands with celebrity brands, it turns out that celebrity brands get to have a little bit of that extra connection, because they don't have to feel as relatable as just the girl next door selling you her tea on Instagram.
You're listening to the WGSN Create Tomorrow podcast, and in this episode, we're shining the spotlight on celebrity-owned beauty brands. Next, I asked our head of beauty, Sienna Piccioni, how these brands differ from those celebrity-endorsed perfume brands of the 1990s.
The celebrity perfume boom of the noughties was really successful at the time and really lucrative. So I found the stat that Britney Spears has launched 33 fragrances since 2004. And one of her fragrances, I think it's called Curious, is said to have generated over $100 million in sales alone. So, you know, really successful, really lucrative at the time. But we started to see them disappear around mid-2010. And, you know, they had a lot of shortcomings. And, you know, I think consumers fell out of love with celebrity fragrances for a number of reasons. But a big factor, which, you know, Brielle touched upon, was that authenticity. You know, we saw the rise of social media around that time where, you know, we had access to celebrities' lives, their actual routines. So I think consumers were no longer convinced and they're a lot savvier. So, you know, it wasn't just enough to rely on the celebrity face alone to sell the fragrance.
It's interesting thinking about sort of that time in the noughties. It was just generally celebrity did pretty well, right? Because we had the weeklies. It was a big time of all the weekly magazines and the It bag. And it was absolutely about celebrity endorsement. And you can see why perhaps all those things boomed then. And a lot's happened. I keep thinking it was yesterday, but it's obviously like 20 years ago now. So how's it changing now, Sienna?
So I think, you know, this new wave of celebrity brands have really learned from the past. And what they're doing is they're trying to create, you know, a real clear point of view and a real brand positioning. You know, they're not just resting on the celebrity alone. They're finding products or a white space that truly represent them and really resonate with their audience. Again, like Brielle said earlier, with, you know, other celebrity, you know, alcohol brands. And, you know, social media, again, is, you know, removed so many barriers to launching a brand. So in the past, celebrities who launched beauty brands would have to partner with, you know, legacy beauty brands, but now they can go directly to their consumers.
Big success stories. I have a feeling you're going to say the four-letter Gwyneth Paltrow word, but please tell me what the huge successes are in this field.
Well, I mean, yeah, Goop, which has done incredibly well. And another one that is a real success, which has been going for a very long time now, is Jessica Alba's Honest Company, which, you know, is natural, started as a natural baby care brand, has now moved into skincare, makeup. It's a lifestyle and well-being brand. And so Honest Company actually went public last year and now it's worth $1.4 billion.
And I know that in beauty, skincare is our biggest growth market. So is that why? Are these very canny, these celebrities, in what they're hitching? Have they got all the numbers, basically, and they're being very wise about what they're doing?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a reason why they've all gone into the beauty industry. And that is because of what we call the lipstick effect. So, you know, and skincare really is like the key player in this. You know, it's a really lucrative market. It's a really big business opportunity. And, you know, we can see this in the past where, you know, the recessions and the pandemic, where, you know, the skincare market has outperformed expectations. And, you know, with skincare, maybe unlike makeup, brands can really establish, you know, long lasting consumer loyalty. But that's if, you know, the products do actually perform.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, so they have to, there has to be the proof in the pudding as well. And recently there's been this shift towards, you know, skin health and well-being, which has really been accelerated in the pandemic. And, you know, we've seen consumers shift to more, you know, authentic routines, and they're really willing to invest in looking after themselves.
This is the WJSM podcast, and we're talking celebrity beauty brands. At WJSM, we've been tracking the rise of inclusive design, and we've actually a celebrity-owned beauty brand to thank for bringing inclusivity to the industry. I asked Hana next about Fenty, launched by Rihanna in 2017, and why it was such a game-changer for the beauty industry.
You know, I think what's so special about Fenty Beauty is that ultimately, what led to its success and how we know the brand today is that, Rihanna's fame aside, the brand set out to solve this real issue in the beauty industry that really needed attention rather than, you know, just using her face as celebrity endorsement. Fenty really found this gap in the market by creating this truly all-inclusive brand that embraced quote-unquote beauty for all in its campaigns, but also in its product development. I mean, even for 2017, which was only 5 years ago, debuting with a range of 40 foundations, now I believe it's 50 foundations they've expanded, it fell out of this traditional standard that beauty has had in the past. But, you know, fast forward 5 years now since the brand launch, and Fenty has had such an impact on how we approach inclusivity today, especially for brands. And we've even seen other celebrity brands follow suit, like R.E.M. Beauty's 60 Shades of Concealer that Ariana Grande just launched. And even better, I think Fenty's products really lived up to and continue to live up to this very diverse and inclusive expectations that it set for itself, really fostering that element of authenticity and credibility, as Sienna touched on.
Now, when it comes to, like, we talked about how this has become a lot more authentic, because you can't not be in the day of, like, social media and oversharing and things. Do you always have to have that for success?
Yeah, you know, I think you absolutely do, because, you know, the fact that celebrities can, like Brielle mentioned, use their social media platforms to directly connect with their audiences and foster that community, it's been absolutely crucial. And especially with consumers getting more savvy and the increasing impact of TikTok that has had on brands. And again, we mentioned cancel culture. I think this element of authenticity is so key to really hold on to that consumer loyalty. And even seeing behind the scenes of celebrities actually making their own product, or say inviting consumers to co-create on product development, like shades and packaging, really allows that that fostering of a community with the brand and also the celebrity. I think a brand that has done this really well recently is Stella McCartney's new 3-product skincare line. In an industry where, you know, we've talked a lot about clean beauty, and that doesn't really have an official definition. And there's this real issue of greenwashing that stands. Stella recently bluntly came out in an interview article with Elle stating, quote unquote, clean skincare is a load of bollocks. But, you know, despite that, I think the key to success is taking the responsibility as the brand to be transparent as possible, and even about the things that aren't necessarily feasible. It's very rare to see a 100% mainstream sustainable beauty brand that's also available to the mass market at a price that's affordable to everyone.
We're about to hit, in most regions of the world, tough financial period for probably a few years. How many of these celebrity beauty brands are affordable?
Celebrity brands vary in price. So take, for example, Halsey has her makeup brand About Face, and I think it's been going for around just, I think, maybe 2 years now. And they just recently had a price reduction to make sure that everything is under $20, which is a response to wanting to make the makeup accessible to their market, who are, you know, young Gen Z in-betweeners who are using her makeup. She's also just launched a diffusion line called AF94 with a US retailer. Again, more affordable options for her market. Whereas, you know, on the flip side, you've got Skin by Kim, where the whole range, I think costs $630, and a serum costs around $90, if I'm correct. But, you know, she is appealing to a consumer who is not price conscious, who, you know, is aware that in order to achieve, you know, Kim level skin that just had a facial look, that 9-step routine, you're going to have to invest a lot of money in your skin. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens in, you know, as the future holds with the global inflation crisis. But I don't think people are going to stop using beauty or stop using celebrity brands. They just might switch or change or make some wiser or smarter choices.
You're listening to the WGSN Create Tomorrow podcast. We're talking all things celebrity beauty. Next, I asked Hana how non-celebrity beauty brands can compete and what's important for them to also keep in mind.
I think there are going to be those consumers who buy into a beauty brand because of the celebrity. There are going to be those people who love a celebrity so much that they're going to go out their way and buy a Harry Styles nail polish or what have you. Strictly because of the celebrity and kind of the, you know, fan base that they have. But I think, as we talked about, having that credibility to really solidify your brand, that goes the same for any other beauty brand. I mean, credibility, transparency are everything that consumers are looking for right now. And so to, you know, compete, so to say, I think is all about having that credibility to back up your brand, whether it's science-backed, whether it's dermatologist-tested. I think having all of those kind of factives, as we call it, to really back up the brand is what draws in consumers and is gonna hold that that consumer base.
I mean, it's interesting, if you are thinking about launching a beauty brand brand new and you're not a celebrity, is it the science-backed that you, either science-backed or clean? What are the kind of like hooks right now you think that would be the things to go for?
Gosh, I mean, there's a lot that you could probably choose from, but I think, you know, right now it is, you know, science-backed. It is fact, you know, having, you know, clinical trials, having consumer trials, you know, having, you know, active ingredients that have been studied, you know, partnering with doctors or dermatologists is going to be really, really, really important to gain that consumer trust. And also sustainability is massive as well. Giving a consumer, making it easier for them to make the sustainable choices is what, you know, I think is going to be really, really important.
I'd like to talk a little bit. At WGSN, we use a STEPIC methodology, right, which is society, technology, politics, industry, creativity, innovation, environment. It's all those things within that STEPIC word. But you've managed to apply this, I love this, into our Ones to Watch reports, which are always great reports. And you've been doing them on Mexico and different regions of the world. It's getting very exciting, our beauty platform, if you're not a member of WGSN. Can you tell me a little bit, Sienna, about how you've sort of mapped those?
So, yeah, what we do is we have taken five celebrity brands, skincare brands, and what we've done is we've mapped them, you know, using the STEPIC index, but against our future forecasts. And it's a really great way of testing our methodology and to understand if the brands that we've selected, if they have longevity and if they can live beyond the celebrity and if they can stand on their own as skincare brands. So using our STEPIC index, what we've done is we've looked at what the brand does, and we've evaluated if this resonates with consumer priorities. What we're not doing, though, is we're not recommending one brand or product over another. And so, yeah, Human Race by Pharrell is one of the brands that we highlighted, and it scored, well, it mapped very highly on our STEPIC index. And it's mapped really highly, and the brand has had so much success since its launch in 2020. And we believe this is because it's really bridged the gap between mindful design and simple yet effective formulas, which are designed for everyone. So, you know, from the formulation to the packaging to the brand messaging, it's gender neutral and accessible. So their packaging is universally designed, and it has, you know, braille on the braille descriptions on the packaging. They're easy to use, easy to open. What really sets them apart from other brands is their core aim to democratize self-care. So not just having, you know, amazing skincare and body care, they've got a well-beings community, which they call a grown community of humans with amazing spirits. And this community really encourages users to share diverse thoughts and conversations around skincare and well-being.
Yeah, so basically it's about it, as you said, just to reiterate, it's not about grading brands. It's about seeing how they fit into what we're forecasting to be important in the future. We need to probably wrap up, but are there any others that you think you sort of want to highlight in that way that you can see really sort of light years ahead, I guess, progressive brands?
Yeah, I'll also mention Kinlo, which is a sun care brand created by tennis star Naomi Osaka, which actually scores very similarly with Human Race. It focuses on opening up conversations around the health risks for melanated skin specifically. They offer, you know, skin and body care products designed for those darker skin tones from, you know, blue light, UVA and UVB rays. And Naomi also worked with expert dermatologists, again, having that science-backed brand to develop the range. And then she also created a education platform for Black, Brown, and Asian Pacific communities. And again, touching on that very inclusive design, the brand website also caters to those with disabilities with a UserWays web accessibility widget, which includes, you know, text-to-speech, alternative screen contrasts, and dyslexia-friendly formats.
Surely Emma Raducanu's next for. I'm just trying to place my bets on who might be next.
We actually have in the beauty team. We've been trying to place bets.
Come on, tell me who you've placed your bets on.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Meghan Markle probably has one soon.
I know there's been talk of Rihanna coming out with a hair care line.
That would be good if Rihanna could do that, what she's done for skincare, for hair care. That would be amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
I would really place my bets on Emrata. She's been doing so much stuff on TikTok recently, and I could see it gearing up to, like, a female gaze beauty line.
And are there any other categories, Brielle, that you see celebrities getting interested in? We know they like drink. We've got Kylie wine. We've got, you know, Rosé from Brad and Angelina, although obviously I don't know which one owns it now. But Brielle, are there other categories?
Yeah, drink is huge. And then I think that there's going to be some more activity in the home care space. I know Kourtney Kardashian is about to announce her next brand of what that's going to be. And a lot of people are guessing that it's kind of within furniture or home care or something within that. And I think that's just showing where that sort of wellness focus is evolving as people are bringing their wellness outside of their bathrooms and more into their home, as we've talked about. I think we'll really start to see that evolution as well with celebrities' brands.
Thanks to Sienna, Hannah and Brielle for joining us today, and thank you all for listening. If you're a WGSN subscriber, you'll find reports covering many of the topics we touched upon on our Insight platform and Beauty platform. Do check out our new reports featuring our Forecasting Stepic Index. If you want to find out how to subscribe, head over to WGSN.com to discover how you can get access to our service. We're constantly publishing new content focusing on how we can design a brighter, better future for all of our industries. You can subscribe to the show on all major podcast platforms, and if you like what you've heard, why not leave us a rating and review on iTunes? I'd also like to thank our podcast producer, Roland Bodenham, and we'll be back in 2 weeks for our next episode.